the Lord's name be glorified. The Lord has brought us again to study God's precious word. It seems many few are missing. Some of the brethren who used to sit here, and some may be on the way. See, you remember our topic? Our topic is, we began with Paul and prayer. One aspect of that topic is the certain features of Paul's prayers. You remember that? That's over actually. Now we are going to consider the prayers of Apostle Paul. See, prayers of Apostle Paul, referring to the prayers, you know. Wherever we see the prayers of Apostle Paul, that shows the burden of Apostle Paul, the concern of Apostle Paul, and okay, we'll go to the first prayer that I have noticed in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 13. So who will read this passage for me, for all of us? Benaya, you will read? Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 13.
Somebody, yeah.
See, this is the passage. See, in the book of Acts also we see, of course, Apostle Paul's prayers. We cannot say prayers, maybe only one or two sentences there. But when we come to Romans 1, we see for the first time, as far as I have noticed, Paul refers to his prayers for the believers in Rome. As I told you in the beginning, see, Paul's prayers, when we go through the prayers of Paul, we can notice his burden, his concern, and also his priorities, his expectations from the lives of God's people. So these prayers actually help us to understand what kind of life we should live, what kind of spiritual life we should lead in our life, and what are the things God expects in our life. So that's what, in this way we are going to consider the prayers of Apostle Paul. When Apostle Paul says, for example, I pray for you believers in Rome, there are certain points, there are certain aim of Apostle Paul. So today we are going to see this, you know, in two aspects. Now you can notice that, you know, that passage very carefully. I have highlighted some passage, words there. So in two aspects, or under two headings we shall see it. First of all, very briefly, three things about Paul's prayers. Paul's prayer here in this passage. We have seen already, in our last two classes, we have seen already. Because it's very clear, you know. I thank my God. So Paul prayed with a thankful heart. That's very simple. I don't need to explain more. We'll see it again. And then, without ceasing, Paul prayed continuously, always, without ceasing. And then he prayed in the will of God. So first of all, he prayed with a thankful heart. Now, I don't need to explain it. Very clearly, Paul says in 21, verse 21, how dangerous is a thankless heart. It's there, you know, in 21. In your Bible it is there. They, the Gentiles, did not glorify God, him as God, nor were thankful. The unbelievers, Gentiles, they were ungrateful. They were not thankful. So thanklessness or an ungrateful heart is the nature of a sinful person. It's very dangerous. They are not satisfied. They are always making complaint. They are dissatisfied in their life. They are not grateful to the Lord. And secondly, and third one together, he prayed repeatedly. We have seen that. And he prayed in God's will. You know, in verse 10, we will come there later on in detail, if God willing. See, Paul, he doesn't say that I pray or I command God that God should do it for me. See, in verse 10, in between, he says, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God. So Paul's prayers, another feature of Paul's prayer is, he prayed in God's will. He wondered, if it is God's will, God may open the way. It is utter foolishness to think that God should work as I like to see, and we have to pray even as the Lord Jesus prayed. This is what I like. If it's your will, O Lord, that's only we can say. So very simple only, three things we can notice here. I think we can notice one more thing. I shall come there maybe later on. So very quickly, three things about Paul's prayer that can find from this passage. Now we'll go to his prayer matters. Now you tell me, I told you we'll study together. Go through the passage again. Maybe you want that passage. See? Go through the passage carefully. Notice the prayer points of Apostle Paul. What is the main thing Paul is praying here? What is the main goal, main prayer topic? Yes. Say loudly. Yeah, very clear. Very clearly it's mentioned there. He says, Apostle Paul says in verse, end of verse 10, by some means I may find a way to come to you. Again in verse 11 it is written, I long to see you. You see in verse 13 it is written, many a times I wanted to come to you, but I was hindered. And now I pray, I want to come. So that is the main topic of Apostle Paul's prayer here. Now actually when we go through what is the next one? Now let's see the whole, no? Then I'll come back. Go through the passage. Yes, it's written there very clearly. I have highlighted the expressions there. What is the next one? We cannot say next one, but to study properly, to remember, it in a systematic manner, we will say 1, 2, 3, 4. But I think the only goal is to go there, then the result, the aim of going there, going to Rome is, and it's the second one. Go through the Bible, the passage itself. That's the second one, to impart you some spiritual gift. I'll come back. Let's see. The third one. Very simple. It's written there very clearly. Come to you. I long to see you. I impart you some spiritual gift. Then, why do I do that? Why should I do that? Why should I impart spiritual gift to you? You may be established. Then, so that is number 4, Now, one more thing. I may be encouraged. Then, one more thing. I might have some fruit among you. So how many things are there? How many prayer points are there? 4, 5 things are there. Okay, we'll go to the first one. Apostle Paul's main goal in this prayer is, he wants to reach Rome. To come to you. I told you already in verse 13 also, he mentions that. Many a times he wanted to visit Rome. See in chapter 15, Apostle Paul writes in 22 onwards. You see chapter 15, verses 22 onwards. No need to read the whole passage. This reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you. Now no longer having a place in these parts, having a great desire that desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. You see, Paul wanted to visit Rome. He says, for many years is my longing, my desire, my strong desire to come and see. Verse 11, I long to see you. I want to meet you. Paul has not gone to Rome so far. But from 16, we understand there are few in Rome whom Apostle Paul knows very well. Who are they? Aquila and Priscilla. Is there, no? In chapter 16. Yeah, which verse it is? Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And there are few others, Apostle Paul, fellow laborers. They labored with Apostle Paul. So he wants to go to Rome, but somehow he could not reach there. He could not go there. We do not know why, the reasons. Paul says, I had longing desire, but I was hindered somehow. Maybe it was because of his busy ministry schedule, or maybe God himself stopped him, and also the possibility would be devil, Satan, the enemy stopped him. But still, he wants to go there. So there, I think we can take up one more point about the kind of prayer he prayed. Remember the three things? So the fourth one could be, it was persistent prayer as we have seen earlier. Even if hindrance is there, he wants to keep on praying for the same thing repeatedly. So Paul wants to reach Rome. So his prayer is, God may open a way to reach Rome. To reach Rome and see the fellow believers. So what is the lesson there? Very simple. Paul wants to meet the believers in Rome, even though he has not seen them. Only few are there, as Aquila and Priscilla, whom Paul knows very well. But still Paul has a longing, a desire and an affection for God's people in Rome. Now that's a lesson for us. I believe it's a lesson for us. What is the lesson? Two lessons I have written there. We need to pray for each and every step in our life. Whether to go to Rome or not, whether to go to Madras or not, whether to go to Pune or not, Paul's prayer shows that we need to pray for each and every steps in our life, and also we need to have a burden or a concern for God's people everywhere, even if we have not seen. Now, I don't need to elaborate these things for you. You know it very well. So I'm going to the second one. Is it clear to you? Any confusion, question? We need to pray for each and every step. To go to a particular place, Paul says, I pray that God may open the way that I may go. And even if we have not seen a group of people elsewhere, we should have a burden, concern, affection for God's people everywhere, even whether it is there in Bombay or in Madras or in Syria or in Iraq or Kuwait or wherever they are. We need to have a love for the God's people, just as Apostle Paul had. He says, I have a longing desire to come and see your face. I haven't seen you. I want to come and see you. Such a longing, such a desire, affection we need for God's people. Okay, the second point or second topic, the purpose of his visit to Rome. He says, I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift. Now, what does it mean? Now, what is the idea there? He says, brethren, I want to come to Rome and impart some spiritual gifts to you. Now, we know about spiritual gifts. Where do we see that? In the book of Romans, chapter 12, it is written. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, it is written. 1 Peter 4, it is there. In Ephesians 4, it is there. Now, do you think that Paul says, I want to come to Rome, brethren, then I will pray for you, and then God is going to give you some spiritual gifts. And that is not the idea. Because from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we understand that Apostle Paul himself says very clearly, God gives spiritual gifts to every Christian at the time of conversion in his own free will, sovereign will. Now in these verses it is there. Up from chapter 12, 4 onwards, so many things are there. By the way, what do you mean by spiritual gift? Now we won't be able to study all these topics that come in between. If you do so, it will take long time. I will not dwell much on each and every topic. And you know it very well. Now Paul says, I want to come to Rome and impart some spiritual gifts to you. Now, what spiritual gift? Charisma. Now what does it mean? Forget about Romans 1. But in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4, we see about spiritual gifts. What is that? It's a special ability that God gives to every born again Christian at the time of conversion for the ministry among the believers in the church. Don't forget that. When we think about spiritual gift, we should understand it's a special ability given by God at the time of conversion to every born again Christian for the ministry in the church of Jesus Christ. So Apostle Paul, when he says, I want to come to Rome and impart some spiritual gifts to you, it's not about spiritual gifts that we get from God. Because every born again Christian got a spiritual gift, one or two or more, in God's own will and desire. Nobody can impart spiritual gift to us. Then what does it mean? Now when we go to the next point, you will get the idea. I believe the idea is, he says, I want to come, I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. I'll come there. For the edification of the assembly, for the encouragement of the people of God. So I believe Paul refers to his ministry, that's all. I want to come to Rome, I want to share the word of God. I want to preach, I want to communicate, I want to share what God has given to me. I want to exercise my spiritual gifts. I want to exercise the ability or the spiritual ability that God has given to me. So I believe Paul referring to there about the exercise of the gift that he got from the Lord, because he knows very well that he got a certain gifts and he has to exercise it, and he has to exercise it for the benefit of God's people, and that's what he is doing everywhere elsewhere, and he wants to do that in the city of Rome also. Now Paul says a lot of things about spiritual gifts elsewhere also. He says in 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, writing to Timothy, he says, neglect not the gift that is in you. Then also he says that you should fan to flame the gift that is in you. So Paul encouraging Timothy to make use of your gift, and Paul himself always zealous, active to make use of his gift that God gave to him. So he says, brethren in Rome, I want to come and I pray that God may open the way, and I want to come and share the blessings the Lord has given to me. I want to share the word with you. I want to impart some spiritual blessings to you, exercising my spiritual gifts before you. Now it's a lesson for us. What is the lesson for us? Not be there. What's the lesson for us? It's not there. Lesson is, just like Apostle Paul, we need to be aware of our spiritual gifts, and we need to know that God has given us certain gifts that we may exercise it for the benefit of others, and we must be entrusted. We must have a burden, desire to go everywhere where God will lead us, and we should exercise our gifts for the benefit of others. So that is Paul's second prayer point. Now, two things we have seen. God may open a way to visit Rome, and God may help him to use his spiritual gifts for the benefit of the people in Rome. Now, third one. See, this is the third one in verse 11. I long to see you. Yeah. You may be established. Now, all these are connected to each other, of course. At the same time, we can learn so many things there. He says, I want you to be established, brethren. Now, the word established speaks of, you know, it's translated into different, in various terms. To make stable, have written there? Yeah, there. Place firmly, set fast, fix, to strengthen, make firm. So in different ways we see the word is translated in the New Testament. God's people must be established. They must be firm. They must be stable. They must be strong. They must stand firm in the faith. Now that's another burden Paul had. So his purpose in visiting Rome. To exercise his gifts. Okay. Or to minister the word. To minister among the people of God. Then as a result of that, he hoped. And he wants that they may be established. Now, here again, we have certain lessons. I don't know whether I have written there. Yeah. See, four things I have not written there. I prepared my note first, then I prepared this one. So each time we prepare, you know, the changes are there. That's why here is different, where difference is there. See, four things. Purpose behind any ministry is edification. Now these are lessons. Remember that. Now this is something I need to emphasize. I would like to emphasize. Paul knew God has given him some gifts. And the purpose of exercising those gifts, nothing else but for the edification, strengthening, encouragement of God's people. Now this is something we should remember, because very sad among Christians, among many Christians, and slowly that nature is coming among us also. They think ministry is a time of entertainment. The opportunity to minister among God's people, the opportunity to exercise our spiritual gift, is a time to show, is a time to entertain people. The Bible says no. The gift God has given us is, the purpose behind any ministry or any exercise of gift is the edification, encouragement, strengthening of God's people. I think one more thing we can note, I don't know if I have written there or not, let's say. Christians need encouragement at any stage in life. One more thing I would like to say, the same first point, you know, where we can, you know, add one more idea there. Any ministry, I personally think that any ministry is actually a time of exercise of spiritual gifts. In other words, I'm explaining. If I have no gift for that ministry, I am not supposed to do that ministry. Or any ministry among the people of God should be an opportunity, should be an occasion of exercising our gifts. Without a spiritual gift, my ministry or any ministry will not be effective. So Apostle Paul says, I want to come, I want to exercise my gift that the Lord's people will be edified and blessed. Okay, Christians, you know, one more thing, you know, you can notice there, the lesson is, we have already seen, I didn't emphasize that, In verse 8, Apostle Paul says, I thank God for you, Roman believers, because I heard about your faith. Your faith is known to all over the Roman Empire, Roman world. Now my question is, when the faith of Romans is so well known, they are exemplary Christians, they are ideal Christians. About them, there's a good testimony. Even though Roman believers are exemplary, even though Romans believers' spiritual faith is well known, it seems they have a higher level of spiritual life. Yet Paul says, I want to come and see that through my ministry you will be strengthened, encouraged, edified, you will stand firm. That means Christians need encouragement at any stage in life. Now we may be a believer for the last 30 years or 50 years. Even at this stage, I need encouragement, strength, spiritual edification, spiritual fellowship from God's people or through the word of God. So at any time, at any stage in a believer's life, we need encouragement, spiritual edification, spiritual strength and spiritual empowerment. Okay. Now, another lesson. Apostle Paul says, not only here, throughout the book of Acts and all the letters, we understand Paul had always a burden to see that people of God are being edified and strengthened. You see, in Acts 14:22, Apostle Paul and companions, they went for missionary work, then they returned to those assemblies. The assemblies were established, then they returned to the assemblies. What Paul says there, 22, strengthening. He returned to those assemblies, strengthening the souls of the disciples. See, so he had a concern about the spiritual strength of believers, and we also need to have such a concern for the stability, encouragement of God's people. And of course, that means every Christian should be stable, strengthened in their spiritual life. I hope you have no confusion. I have to go fast. My time in the beginning I was so slow. No problem, I have to go very fast. So the fourth point, I may be comforted. You are listening in the back. Paul says, actually, Paul has only one main point. Believers in Rome, I thank God for you. And I always pray a desire. I want to come to your place, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, so that you will be strengthened, encouraged and empowered. And then fourth one, along with that, I also will be comforted. Now, this is something very interesting. This is something very much unique feature of the Christian ministry. Very much unique. Remember very well. When we serve the people of God, in whichever way, not only the believers will be blessed and edified, and we ourselves will be blessed and edified. That's an encouragement for ministry. Now you try it. It's not only about preaching. Not only about preaching. Ministry is not only preaching and teaching. Whatever we do for the people of God, whatever we do for the encouragement, comfort, or blessing of the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ, God's people are blessed, and we ourselves also will be blessed. So Apostle Paul knew that. So the lesson, main lesson is, what is the main lesson? Three things are there, no? Three things. Three main lessons are there. What's the lesson? We all need it, even Paul. Now, what I want to say is, Apostle Paul, he knew very well. Even though I'm a teacher, I'm a preacher, I'm an apostle. Even as I go to Rome, I'm not going there just to give. I'm going there to receive also. I also need encouragement. Now, there are certain believers, they think that so-and-so is a pastor, is an evangelist, is a Bible teacher, is a preacher for the last so many years. He doesn't need any encouragement. He doesn't need any fellowship. He doesn't need any, encouragement from God's people. That's a wrong idea. Every Christian at any stage in life needs encouragement, even if you are preachers and teachers of the word of God. Paul says, I need to be strengthened by you. I need to be comforted by you. Then how much more we all need. So Paul says, we all need it because even Paul had needed it. Now the second lesson that we can notice is, Paul's a great man of God. Now Paul is a great man of God. Naturally, Roman believers are his own children. His own spiritual children. No, one way he can say that. Younger children, the younger Christians they are. Young believers. Paul says, when I come to you, I realize, even though I am spiritually grown up, matured in spiritual life, I have been ministering the Lord, I have been a Christian for the last so many years. You are relatively young, but yet I believe you, young Christian, also can minister unto me. You also have something to, so that also we need to learn. Even the least believer has something to share. Even the least believer has something to contribute. I know there are certain great men of God. If they come to know so and so is preaching, least person. And the same now I know about certain great men of God. Even if a small boy is teaching or preaching or sharing the word, he will pay attention and he will, follow those words very carefully. Just a Sangal, I remember, just a Sangal. He was such a great man of God. He knew that even from a small boy, he can learn certain things. So that is another lesson for us. And ministry is not a waste. Whatever we do in the name of the Lord, for the people of God, we will be blessed and edified. We ourselves also will be blessed and edified. So four things we have seen. No? Number five. Now we have seen already four. Remember once again, I want to visit Rome. Very clear. Number two. We'll come there. Number two is to minister there using the word of God, the gift. And number four is, three is to establish the saints there. Number four is to be encouraged by the saints. Then number five is in verse 13. Apostle Paul says, I might have some fruit among you. Now what does it mean? Some fruit among you. Now what is the idea? I might have some fruits among you. Does it mean that as I come there, I'm going to collect some money from you? No, what is that? I want to come Rome and I need some fruits from you. Eh? What does it mean? What is the idea there? If you read 16:5, the idea is there. He refers to a family or some believers there. He says, greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. So the first fruit, of course the New Testament fruit refers to many things, but here in this context, Apostle Paul refers to souls, converts, new believers. He says, I want to come to Rome, share the gospel. Now in the following verses, he says that I'm a debtor to the barbarians and the Greeks and so on. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want to preach there. I want to see that from Rome, so many believers will be saved. and born again. So that is another desire of Apostle Paul, or point in Paul's prayer. Now we will see it later on in detail when we come to chapter 10 verse 1. We will have to see it in detail. So I just want to go to the, we'll summarize it. You see, five things. The main lesson, the points are there, lessons are there. You can look to the screen and notice. He says he wants to visit Rome. That means, lesson for us, we should have the same concern, and we should have the affection for God's people everywhere. Now I would like to emphasize it, concern for God's people everywhere. Many a times we are so selfish, you know. We have a burden, love for our believers in our locality. But we should have a burden and be concern for every born again Christian around the globe, around the world. Okay, now Paul says, I want to minister there using the God-given gifts. And we also need to be aware of the gifts that we have. And we need to exercise it. And we need to see a saints established in the assemblies. We need to help others to be strong and be established. And Paul says, my desire is I need to be encouraged by the saints there. That means, lesson for us is, serve the Lord. Be active in the assembly. Be active among the people of God. Be active in the ministry. People of God will be blessed. You also will be blessed. Taste it. Enjoy it. Experience it. And finally, Paul says, souls may be saved. Now, notice carefully. All these five things, once again I have written there, visiting Rome, ministering, establishing the saints there, to be encouraged by the saints there, souls may be saved. All these five things are very good. He says, I want it. I pray for it. But one clause is there. What is that? Now we should not forget that. What is the clause there? All these, Paul says, I pray if it is in God's will. No, there's a very, you know, very important lesson is, let me tell you very clearly. We may have a desire to visit somebody, to serve the Lord, to preach, to minister and so on. Paul says, all these are good things. I like it, but I don't want to do. I don't want to be a part of it if it is not according to God's will. So that's a lesson. That should be a lesson. Many a times, you know, we are so zealous, overzealous. The Lord says no disciple is above the master. We go above the master. Either we go very back or we go much before the Lord. We need to abide by the will of God. Apostle Paul says, I am ready to be submissive. I am ready to be patient. I am ready to stay quiet. Till the Lord opens the way, I will not push the way. I will not push to go there. Now in the book of Acts itself, we see an example in Acts 16. You know the story there. Paul and companions, during their ministry, the Spirit of the Lord said, don't preach here. You remember that? Acts 16, verse 7 onwards. We read there, Paul and the cover case, they stopped preaching. Why? Because the Lord said, don't preach. Then they wanted to go to another place. Again, the Lord said, no, don't preach here. Who will stop preaching? No, we would say, what kind of person is he? He is stopping the ministry. He is hindering the ministry. Is it the Lord's work? No. There are times God leads us to minister. There are times God stops us in our ministry. We need to be submissive to the will of God. Apostle Paul says that all these things are good, but I want to be only in the perfect will of God, and we cannot, because we cannot demand it. Paul knew that. He cannot demand or force God to work for him, even though he has a long desire to, longing in his heart to go to Rome, because he knew that it is good for him to be in the perfect will of God. Now finally, think about all these prayer points of Apostle Paul. What's the main point of Paul? Paul's prayer, main point? I may come to visit Rome. I may visit Rome. That's the main point. I want to come to Rome. Did the Lord answer the prayer? Huh? Did the Lord answer the prayer? You see, when we come to Acts 28, we see the Lord did answer. But not the way Apostle Paul wanted it. See Acts 14 onwards. You need to read. We read there, Paul reaches Rome. So we went to Rome. From there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us. So Paul met the brethren there. He could see them. But what is the difference? Paul never imagined that. This is the way he is going to reach Rome. Which way he reached Rome? As a prisoner. He had no freedom to move around in Rome. He reached Rome as a prisoner. Now there we have another lesson. There are 2-3 lessons there. What is the lesson? Paul prayed very seriously. And the Lord answered also. The Lord answered. Not according to his will. The Lord answered the prayer of Apostle Paul in God's own manner. Do you think that God made a mistake? No. We understand from the book of Acts, not only Acts, the epistles, we understand it was good. He was there for 2 years and he could preach the gospel. He had limited freedom. He could write letters. He could pray for God's people. And he could even win Onesimus. And there are many other stories there. So God used Apostle Paul in a mighty manner, in his own way, in his own time. And that's a lesson for us also. We have a desire, we pray, earnestly we pray, we long for it. And this lesson shows that God may answer, maybe in a different manner. But we should be happy to be in the will of God. Because what God does, he doesn't make a mistake. He is able to do, he does everything well. So we see Apostle Paul's prayers were answered, even though in a different manner. So we have Paul's prayer, many lessons from Paul's prayer in Romans chapter 1. These are the three things about Apostle Paul's prayer. He prayed with a thankful heart, and he prayed without ceasing. He prayed in his own, in his will. And he can add one more thing. He prayed persistently. Even though he was hindered, he kept on praying. And we need to have a concern, affection for God's people. We need to be aware of our gifts, and we need to use it. And we need to help others to be strong, and we may be, that they may be established. And we need to be active, because it helps all, everybody else. Others are blessed, and we also are blessed. There is mutual encouragement in the ministry. And we need to have a burden for new souls. And we need to love to be in God's perfect will. So may the Lord help us that as we go through the prayers of Apostle Paul, all those lessons, all those, you know, principles that are there may be an encouragement to us, and we may put these things in our practical life, and we may also, as Paul did, keep on praying, desiring, longing, and also at the same time committing ourselves patiently in the will of God, that God's will may be fulfilled in our spiritual life. May the Lord's name be glorified.